Nashville's won the ball back, and it's Randall Leal into the final third. Has Mukhtar to his left. Leal goes alone. He scores! 2-0, boys in gold. 59th minute. Here comes the penalty from DK. Scores! Game on! Orlando claws one back at the 76th minute. Corner kick from the far side. Here it comes from Nani. It's hanging! They score! Orlando equalizes with just 2 minutes left in stoppage time.
That's how it sounded on ESPN 94.9 last night. Welcome back in, Darren Donick and Chase. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, Darren McFarlane. That was the voice of the great John Freeman, radio play-by-play man of Nashville SC, and he joins us now. John, great call, and unfortunately, just a draw, but a valuable point for the boys in gold last night against Orlando. How you doing?
Good, man. You guys had to put me back through the trauma of a 93rd minute equalizer. I was just coming to talk about coffee and Diet Coke, to be honest.
All right, where do you stand, John, in all this?
But if you want to talk soccer, I can do it.
Well, where do you stand on all this? Are you a coffee guy?
Yeah, of course. Oh, ice, man. Not during games, though. I was surprised to hear that Willie sips coffee before hockey games because it dries your throat out.
I know.
I can barely make it through 90 minutes of soccer. I can't imagine three periods on a...
Well, Willie, you don't do it before games, though, right?
I do. If I do, it's way before. It's a couple hours. Morning skate, yeah. And then maybe right when I get to the rink, but... John is right. You can't be doing that during the game.
Oh, you're doing it in the afternoon. I didn't see you as a PM coffee. It would be strictly AM. Interesting.
Sometimes I slip. I get into the, between 4:30 and like 5 o'clock, for a 7 o'clock game. Because you're right. Then you got to rehydrate. You drink about 10 glasses of water, and then you know where you're going there. Hopefully rehydrated. But
well, Chase knows that... I'm quite the almost like a pharmacist in my radio booth. I've got every single potion that you could possibly have: the slippery elm, the throat coat tea. It's gotten a bit ridiculous. So I'll take any tips you have, Willie.
I go with the tea during the game. That is key. The tea with the honey during the game. That is an important element.
Just don't drink Chase's drink. It's Jack and honey. So just be steer clear of his cup, just so you know.
Hey, he's our audio engineer. I don't think I could do that on the air.
No.
Stay employed.
Well, John, so as segueing back into soccer, last night, I mean, Nashville was definitely in the first half in control of this thing. And as we heard in the clips there, the penalty is what put Orlando back in it, and then getting that goal – which turned out to be an own goal by Nashville SC by Brian Anunga. That was the equalizer. And so both teams get a point. Orlando stays in the mix. But, I mean, you'll take it. You'll take it over a loss. But I know a disappointing night with Nashville looking like they had 3 points.
Yeah, it's a really strange feeling after a match that, Nashville was in control. And rarely do we ever see them give up leads. I mean, ever since I've been calling games, and this is my fourth year calling it at the professional level for Nashville SC, and when you've got a Nashville SC team with a lead at home in front of a crowd like that, you think it's just finish it out and lock it down. And that seemed to be the script last night, and Orlando City clawed back. And the lifeline of the penalty, I think there's a lot of debate about whether it was a good penalty call or not. To be honest, I don't really have an opinion. I know my color analyst, Wes Bowling, thought it was a bit of a light penalty to give, but sometimes it happens. And to see Orlando claw one back, and even then you still felt like Nashville had it in the bag, late equalizer. But in the end, it's still a point against a very good team. Nashville got a result last night when a lot of teams that are chasing them didn't. And it's still a 6-point buffer in the second spot of the MLS standings in the Eastern Conference. So when you look at the bigger picture, and when in doubt, zoom out, and you see a Nashville club that hasn't lost at home in I guess now 15 straight regular season matches. You see a team that's sitting firmly at second in the Eastern Conference table, which would be guaranteed at least one playoff game. And if they win that, be guaranteed another one. In the end, you're not happy with the draw, but it's not a disaster.
Hani Mukhtar scores again last night, 13 goals on the season. And I know people around here that follow this club, you know, think, okay, he needs to be getting more national attention. But how do you think he is viewed across the landscape of the MLS?
He is getting there in terms of national exposure. It took a while for the league to notice. And to be honest, it took a while for Hani Mukhtar to get to the level that he's playing in. Let's not forget, he played a full season last year. And while he was a very, very good MLS player, he wasn't worthy of MVP discussion last year, just by the statistics and by a lot of other players having exceptional years. Hani is playing at an MVP level right now. Statistically, he passes the eye test as well. He's consistent with his performances. He's scoring, not only is he scoring goals, he's scoring the first goal of the game. He's scoring late equalizers. He's scoring big goals, not just picking up, you know, the fourth or fifth goal in a game that Nashville has clearly in control. I think what was a really neat moment last night, before the 93rd minute equalizer, Hani Mukhtar was subbed out maybe with a minute or two to go before stoppage time. And you could hear it in our headset because, Chase, you do such a good job with the audio and setting it up so that we can hear what the crowd is chanting. You could hear a rain down of MVP.
Yeah.
MVP. And it gave me chills. I know Hani certainly heard it. And when you hear about Hani Mukhtar in the MVP race, I think the league is starting to hear it as well.
You know, John, as you were talking about that, it reminded me of a clip that I saw yesterday. It happened to be Tony Kemp, who plays for the Oakland A's, grew up here. His nephew had a PK, and his dad filmed it, and he did the Hani Mukhtar celebration. He ran over, he did the salute, and he kind of shouted out Nashville SC. And it, you know, the theme is, hey, these kids are watching. You know, everybody's this team is making a mark. I just love seeing stuff like that. And, you know, it happened to be the nephew of a big league player. But I think that says a lot, not only about Hani Mukhtar, but also just how the team is starting to infiltrate and be a part of the soccer community.
Yeah, I remember talking to Gary Smith when he first got to Nashville. And he understands the relationship of club and city. And he would always tell me that it makes him excited that people who are going to the games are picking their heroes. They're finding the player that they'll attach themselves to. And that connection, he felt it when he was a kid, when he was growing up in England. I think everybody who's watched sports has that connection with the first athlete that was their favorite athlete. And it's a bit surreal to start seeing a lot of young kids in our area pick a Nashville SC player as their favorite athlete. Even going back to last year, Walker Zimmerman scores a goal. And he does this kind of arm swinging strut after it. And before you know it, there's videos of kids across Middle Tennessee doing it as well in their celebration. So when you look at this Nashville SC roster and you look at these players and how stylish they are and how diverse they are and how exciting they are to watch, I don't think it's hard for a lot of fans to pick a favorite player.
Another thing I'm noticing is the journey of the season is an interesting challenge. Last year was last year. So now watching this unfold, where you have all these nuances in a schedule, you have breaks, you have games you play where some of your players are not available because they're playing some international play somewhere. So you've got to be able to just kind of bob and weave with the ebb and flow of the schedule, and it's over a long, long period of time. What kind of challenges are you seeing with that, John? What do good teams do to get through that?
Good teams are consistent throughout the season, no matter who is playing. The other thing about good teams, and Nashville is certainly one of them, you know, they're one of the top five in all of MLS in total points accumulated, they'll map out a whole plan for how they're going to deal with this. Now, it's hard to deal with injuries. Fortunately, Nashville SC has had minimal amount of injuries this year, looking at the overall picture. But what you're seeing is Gary Smith breaking down parts of Nashville SC's schedule, looking at road versus home, looking at recovery time in between games, and you're seeing a Nashville club that has a plan not just for the game in front of it, but for how it's going to develop over the course of, you know, a 1 or 2 week run of matches. So you see players like, you know, Randall Leal and Alistair Johnston and Anibal Godoy, who are leaving on international duty, and they're going to do so again in a week or so, and play all around North America. And in their place, while Nashville doesn't have any games, they're going to have a game right after that international break, where those players are most likely going to be too fatigued to go a full 90. I guarantee you there is a thorough plan for exactly how Nashville will play out that scenario. And they've done a really good job of getting, you know, younger players minutes, developing their talent, taking some of their draft picks, and making sure that they get time in alternate leagues and then bringing them back here so they can fill in. The scouting of Nashville SC is has really been one of the strengths of this club, that you can have a player go out on international duty and the person that comes in for him, for example, Tom Brian Anunga stepping in for Godoy or McCarty, the player that comes in for them, there's not a huge loss in terms of product on the field. So I think you're seeing a Nashville team that's quite deep. And also, I think there's a special shout out to the training staff with this Nashville SC club. I look at the injury reports of every team in the league, and at this point in September, with 6, 7, 8 games to go, depending on the teams, in a 34-match season, Nashville is one of the only teams that has had a completely empty injury list for several weeks. That is absolutely remarkable to see that injury list come out each week, and knock on wood, it's not very full now, and hopefully it won't be moving forward, but it all kind of adds up with how they manage their players, the time, the minutes, the recovery, the roster rotation, and so on. And right now you see a team that can consistently compete night in and night out in a very grueling league.
Anybody who's ever built a house from scratch, like you do the plans, you do everything, it could take 4 to 6 months. And if anybody's ever been through that process, it probably feels like 4 to 6 years. But while all that's happening, you've got to live in your current house. And it's hard because you've done all these cool things to what's the next house is going to have that your house currently doesn't have. And it takes forever to get to that point where you move into the new one. How difficult is it, you think, to not – because they can't. They can't worry about the new home. They can't worry about that right now. They're in their current home and they've got a season – and playoffs and all this stuff to think about. But it is hard not to wander, right? Just to envision what it's going to be like in the new home.
There was a moment last night where Chase is doing our audio engineering, and we often look back at him and just kind of signal that we're going to stop doing the play-by-play and color commentary and just let the crowd go for a second. And there was a moment where you could hear the Nashville SC chants, and we just stopped talking, and Chase turned up the crowd noise. And again, a moment that gives you a bit of chills. And I turned to Wes, my color analyst, and I said, just wait till we get a roof on a building. And Nashville SC is going to have, you know, a large amount of covered seats, and the new stadium is going to trap in that sound. And you think about just what an environment Nissan Stadium is right now, and how hard it is for other teams to win here. No one's done it in almost an entire calendar year. And then to think that the next building that they move into next year is going to be even more tailor-made to create a home atmosphere and excitement, you've got to just wonder what Nashville SC is going to be capable of in that building if this is what they're doing currently in their home. But to your point, I'd like to encourage people who are following the team to live in the present.
Well, and you
need
to experience it so you can talk about both one day, right? I went to Nissan, yeah, and I went to, you know, and now I go to the new home. I mean, you need to experience both.
Yeah, it's like flying, you know, commercial class right now, and then next year you're getting the private jet, or you're moving up to first class, and you can be excited about that. But right now we're heading in a really good destination, no matter what seat you're sitting in. But to go back to your point, I think if you're looking forward to next year, you're missing something that's truly extraordinary what's happening. Second year teams don't do this. You don't see a lot of expansion clubs in year two having a 15-game home unbeaten streak and being second in the Eastern Conference.
And being ticked off contender. That you have to settle for a tie.
Exactly. Against a Orlando City team that has, you know, one of the best players or a couple of the best players in Major League Soccer, and Daryl DK and Luis Nani. And here we are, you know, somewhat bummed out about a 2-2 draw at home.
Last thing, we had Scott Corley on a couple days ago, the athletics director over Belmont, and big news coming from their campus. They're moving to the Missouri Valley Conference, and boy, with all the hype around this Belmont basketball team, and I know they won't be in it this year, but it'll be the next season in 2022. But that's already a really good basketball conference, and there's already a lot of rumors out there swirling that Murray State could be the 12th member, and wow, what a basketball conference that could be. You're now the voice of that team. How exciting is it to, one, this season, there's going to be tons of hype around the Bruins, and then you get to whatever happens and however this season plays out, you get to move into this really attractive new conference.
Yeah, it's a moment where I kind of have to pinch myself. I was coming back from vacation on Monday and driving with my wife, and a staff person from Belmont, Greg Stage, called me and he said, "Are you free tomorrow to host a press conference?" Like, yeah, sure. What's the deal? Well, we're moving conferences to the Missouri Valley Conference, and I'd heard some rumors, and to hear it actually confirmed is astounding for Belmont. I think the general feel around Belmont is a very quiet confidence, but also a feeling of gratefulness and disbelief of, we were an NAIA school 25 years ago. They were a fledgling, you know, independent Division I basketball program maybe 20 or so years ago. And now here they are moving to a conference that has produced Final Four participants in Illinois, Chicago. I know Wichita State's no longer in the conference, but you know they were a quality program. This potential ceiling by joining the Missouri Valley Conference is way, way higher. And I think it matches Belmont's aspirations in the basketball.
By the way, I think Sister Jean is going to live to be about 125 years old. So she's got about 23 more years of Missouri Valley Conference Loyola Chicago Belmont games to watch. So
I love it. That's when the transition will become real, when you go up to Chicago and you see her in the crowd. And
no doubt.
Oh, man. And that team's going to be really good. Again, they've still got some of those guys. Remember, everybody got a free year. So they might be the two oldest teams in college basketball.
That's right.
Belmont and Loyola.
Yeah. Oh, there are going to be some battles. So not this year. We'll get a preview when Belmont plays Drake in a tournament. But we'll have to wait till next year to get the true MVC matchups.
Thanks for doing this as always. Good to catch up with you. We'll do it again here soon.
Love it, guys. Thank you.
All right. That is John Freeman, the voice of Nashville SC. They will actually hit the road this weekend. They'll take on New York City FC on Sunday morning. So keep that in mind. Of course, you can listen to it on 94.9. We'll come back more here on Darren, Donnick, and Chase. We'll hear from David Long Jr., their linebacker. Great story. What a season he's had to this point. That's coming up at 11:15. But right now, we'll just step aside, come back with more here on Darren, Donnick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.